You're listening to PodcastJuice.net.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome to Geeked Out here on Podcast Juice. My name is Michael Dean. Joining me today, Mr. Big Sexy and Sakari, sir.
I'm ready to get my 4th of July barbecue and potato salad on.
Oh, that's what's up.
Guys can do it.
All right. Mr. Big... Oh, I was about to say Big Sean, but that doesn't make any sense.
I'm not the rapper. Yeah. Not the rapper.
Sean Hill, how are you, sir?
I'm doing well. Same as Big Sexy. I'm about to go get my barbecue on here in about an hour or so. So, happy 4th.
All right. Also, my man, Aunt Poop. How are you, sir?
I am doing good since I did not spend $20 this week to see a movie.
Oh, all right. Dig that. And last but certainly not least, my man, Mr. Q-Storm. How are you doing, sir?
I'm hating on you West Coast folks because here I am, it's 4th of July, trying to cut the grass. Why does God make it rain? Now I got an uneven yard because I'm waiting for it to stop raining. I got piles of grass that I can't pick up. And I can't cook out.
Man.
Wait a minute. You can't cook out?
In the rain? In the rain?
It's 2 o'clock where you are, sir, correct?
Yeah.
Why the hell have you not already started cooking? Any good barbecue starts around 6 or 7 in the morning.
Huh?
Yeah. Any good barbecue, you throw that on around 6, 7 in the morning because you want that low and slow smoking cook.
I'm going to have to co-sign with that because when I barbecue, I start around 6 or 7 in the morning. My ribs take about 4 or 5 hours to cook.
Don't you overcook them when you cook them for that
long? I'll send you my recipe.
You know what? Unlike you, if you know how to control your heat and the fire, you don't worry about that.
All right.
You're telling me about controlling
tips now.
Yeah, cooking tips podcast. 6 a.m. All right.
You might want to talk to Dr. Ruth, not me.
Whatever, all right,
Let's keep it moving. All right, let's get into some Geeked Out. We got a lot of things to get into today. First off the bat, I wanted to start it off with what we've seen so far, right? There's been good movies, bad movies. Movies been making money, movies that haven't. But I'm going to go to Sean Hill first. Sean, so I understand you have the best and the worst.
Yes, sir.
2015 so far, so let's get into that.
All right, well, we'll start with the worst. It's number 5, a film you and I not enjoyed, but we enjoyed ribbing it, The Boy Next Door.
J-Lo.
Number 4, I don't know if you guys have seen this one, but The Lazarus Effect.
I've almost seen it, but
vaguely
don't.
Remember.
It's got Olivia Wilde, Donald Glover. It's a supernatural thriller with no thrills whatsoever. Number 3 would be Hot Tub Time Machine. Without a doubt, one of the worst sequels I have ever seen in my entire life. There's not a single laugh in the entire movie.
Now, wait, hold on. I saw those trailers. I was laughing at the trailer.
I will take that back. Yeah, I stand corrected. There was one laugh, and it is in the trailer when Craig Robinson is singing that Lisa Loeb song. I laughed at that. That was the only part I laughed.
I was laughing when they had to go back to 1800s or something, and one of them says, "It's not going to be too good for you," and he points to Craig Robinson.
Yeah, that was at the end of the movie, and by then, I was over it. All right, where am I? Number 2, Chappie. Lisa Chappie. That is the second worst. And I wrestled. I know I've talked about this. I wrestled with what would be number 1 and what would be number 2. I still find Chappie morally
reprehensible.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
And although it had a very good opening segment, it slowly deteriorated and went downhill. And the absolute worst movie of 2015 thus far would be, drum roll please, Jupiter Ascending. Yeah. An absolute incomprehensible mess of a film.
Wasn't it the Wachowskis?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Another L.
All right.
I said it on Facebook, but some of the 3 most overhyped directors, Ava DuVernay, the Wachowskis. Damn it, I forgot my 3rd one.
You're starting early.
Now, see, I don't know why you say Ava DuVernay.
Exactly. She only did like one movie.
She only did one movie.
I said overhyped.
I know. Overhyped. Why overhyped?
I didn't say overrated. I said overhyped. I mean, we'll get into it later, but she's overhyped.
Let me also just real quick run through the honorable mentions. The Loft, Hot Pursuit, Get Hard, The Longest Ride, Spy, and Inside Out.
Okay, I remember my third. Sofia Coppola.
Ain't nobody checking for Sofia. Yeah.
That's what I said. Overhyped. When she did
She's not overhyped. No one cares about her.
Oh, my God. Okay, it doesn't have to be now. I'm saying in time. She was overhyped. The Wachowskis haven't been overhyped in how long? But they were overhyped.
All right.
I don't remember Sofia Coppola ever being overhyped.
She won an Oscar for screenwriter and was nominated for director. People were swearing she was going to be the next great director.
All right.
And I won an Oscar for screenwriting. So what?
All right, moving on. Stay on target. Sean Hill, what was
the best? Yes. So number five, these two actors that star in this movie are going to be in the upcoming superhero movie, Focus, Will Smith and what's her name? Margot Robbie, is that right?
Yes.
All right. Number four, Mad Max, Fury Road, an exhilarating action film from start to finish.
I don't know about start.
I gotta agree with him. I don't know about start either.
Okay, well, I say start. I'm sticking with start. Number three, Me and Earl and the Dying Girl.
Really?
It's a quirky comedy about a guy named, can't remember his name, but his Earl? Friend Earl and the Dying Girl, yes.
Isn't that the one that had the black dude eating fried chicken on the porch?
I think so.
Wow.
It's all in context, brother. All in context. Number two, It Follows. A very good, suspenseful, original horror film. I don't know if you guys have seen that.
I've heard of it.
And then the number one film of the year thus far, I think Mike may agree with me on this, Ex Machina. Best film of 2015 thus far.
Interesting. I have to see that movie again.
All right, and then so rounding out, these are ones that almost made it. Avengers, Maggie, Jurassic World, and Dope.
I tried to watch Maggie, fell asleep on it.
Damn.
Couldn't get into it. All right, well, that's cool. That's a good list. Wanted to back that up with which movies are actually business-wise bringing in the money, right? Top domestic movies of 2015 so far. Starting at I'm gonna do number 10. Do 10 of them. Starting at number 10, Mad Max.
Really, only 10?
Yeah.
Wow.
$147 million so far.
That's, wow.
It's not a lot when you look at some of the other ones, but you know it's still early.
I thought it at least got to 200 by now.
Number 9, the SpongeBob movie, Out of Water, with $162 million.
I was like, hold on, SpongeBob is outpacing Mad Max?
Kids.
Oh, it's kids. TV show.
Wasn't Mad Max PG-13?
No, wait, it was R.
No, it was R.
Yeah, it was R-rated. I mean, it's probably more kids, though, that grew up watching.
Remember, kids got to go, and then the parents got to go also. Yeah. So that's double the revenue.
All right, number 8, 50 Shades of Grey with the 166.
Oh, God.
Wait, I'm sorry to sidetrack, but or you could do like my mama did. She took me to that theater and then left and went to go see her movie and came and got me when the other movie was done.
Hilarious.
Sorry, Mom.
Just put her out on blast like that. I know she's listening. Shout out to her. We try, ma'am. We try.
You know she listening.
Oh, yeah. She comments. I love it.
Can I say something real quick about 50 Shades? Mm-hmm. That was one of the movies where women went in like groups. I mean, like groups of five, groups of 10, you know. So I can see it making that much money. That's what women typically do when they go see a movie like that. They like to go in big, big groups.
So I'm going to assume that Magic Mike is going to be on this list as number in the top five then.
Felicia?
Probably. Cool.
Wait and see.
All right. Number 7 is a movie I don't remember called Home.
It's a kids' movie.
That's some bullshit.
$175 million.
It has Sheldon Cooper and Rihanna, so.
Oh, there you go.
I fell asleep 3 times on that movie.
But you paid a ticket.
I paid a
ticket. That's all that matters.
That's all that this list talks about. All right, number 6 is Pitch Perfect 2, $181 million.
Nah, I'm going to call that some bullshit right there. I can't believe that.
This is a pathetic year for movies. That's all I'm learning from this list.
Well, that's another female-driven movie, and same thing, going packs. This one's popular with the younger girls, too, so, and they do the same thing. They go in groups and see it multiple times.
Yeah, they do that.
Our youth is wasted.
All right, getting to the top 5. Number 5, Cinderella with $200 million.
Cinderella?
Yeah, I came out. That's right. It did come out this year. That's right.
I don't remember that one. Disney.
Another.
Oh, that's the one with Chris Pine looking like a punk.
No. You're thinking of Into the Woods,
which is horrible. Mm. Sorry, Felicia.
You actually went to see that?
It's my baby cousin. I love her to death. What am I supposed to do? Tell her no to Into the Woods?
I thought she was going to say your baby mama. So.
Here you go.
All right. Now, here we go. Number 4, Inside Out with $228 million.
Well, it's Pixar. I mean, pretty much Pixar puts out a movie, it's going to do $200 million.
Yeah.
And it wasn't very good.
All right. Top 3. Number 3 is...
Do we even need a drum roll?
Furious 7.
Yep.
With $351 million. Now, it's number 3 here domestically, but let me just throw this in here. I believe Furious 7, though, is the biggest movie of the year worldwide, period. It's currently sitting at $1.5 billion. But what's interesting is that, what I say, was $351 million here in America. The foreign takedown is $1.1 billion.
Wow. Most of that is China, I bet you.
When you see guys like Tyrese talk about, I kind of come with a little bit of clout right now. I'm sure Hollywood is very much aware of. They're doing it.
I don't know about Tyrese.
I'm just saying, in terms of, he's been in how many of those movies now?
I think four or five.
That means tied to, obviously, a very big movie in terms of business.
Well, I don't want to say that. Well, with the tragic demise of Paul Walker, they might increase Tyrese's role in the future sequels. I don't want to say.
Why would you think that?
The key word in it was might.
Yeah, I don't see that at all. I see them increasing. What's his name? The dude that I thought was Italian, but finally he's black. What's
Vin Diesel?
I mean, he's already a star.
Vin Diesel is already the star, so I mean, that's a given.
Yeah, but I'm saying he's going to get more screen time now. That's all I'm saying.
I think they'd probably go with The Rock too. I mean, you got a lot. It's an ensemble movie.
That's true.
So
you got
a lot of people there to deal with. But all right, so there's Furious 7. Number 2.
I was hoping that was going to be the last one.
Avengers: Age of Ultron, which sits at $453 million in America. So there you go. And number 1 movie this year so far in America, it's quite ahead of the pack, Jurassic World with $539 million.
I'm going to say it now. The Jedi will make sure that will be removed by the end of the year. Maybe for opening weekend.
Yeah, we'll see, right? The Jedi comes out, what, the 18th? It's only got a few weeks in the year left for it to be the top of the year, so it'd be quite amazing if it goes that hard.
Mike, is that...
You're right there. You're right.
Pause.
Is that list broken down by, like, 3D? Just curious, because
it's just a total.
That's a good point. That is a good
one. Number 1 and number 2 definitely enhanced by 3D sales, I'm sure. Definitely number 1.
Yeah, probably.
And IMAX sales, right?
Well, that's what I mean, 3D IMAX.
Yeah. So there you go.
I am disappointed in America and the world, actually, that Jurassic World and Furious 7 is doing that type of money.
I got to agree.
I mean, I don't think Jurassic World was that bad, as a lot have said. It's just that, $500 million? I'm like, come on. But, you know,
What would you put in its place?
Avengers or Mad Max?
Yeah. I'd put Mad Max in its place.
Well, I think Avengers has a whole lot more. It's a fresher story. fresher characters, and they're key, and it's building from something and building towards something else. So I would prefer that as opposed to Jurassic World, which was it was okay, it just wasn't bad.
What does it say about America's state of mind where a movie about dinosaurs that get loose from their cages and eat people? What does that say that we spend $500 million to see the same story that we already saw, what, three times?
Well, Q, I mean, if you do your history, what was the original blockbuster?
Jaws.
There you go. So America likes animals getting loose, killing people.
There you go.
There you have movie analysis. But he's right.
Hilarious.
People want to be entertained.
Yeah, then you got to remember back in the day, ants, the killer spiders. Also.
Birds.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know what type of money the birds did, but I mean, apparently.
Well, okay.
King Kong, Godzilla.
You all raise a good point. But this is why I'm going to buy a license from Aunt Pooh to say this. That's different. The reason that's different is because those movies were more about nature going off course. So that is a little bit. This is about humans being stupid enough to try to do the same thing four times and create dinosaurs and put them in zoos and they get out. I mean, at some point, right?
Well, to be fair, Jurassic Park 3 wasn't about that. That was a rescue mission. So
that's why that movie, I think it gets shade thrown at it when it doesn't deserve it.
I agree. I liked it. I definitely liked it.
And we saw
Jurassic Park 3.
We saw the Pteranodon for the first time, which was cool.
What was Pteranodon?
We saw the Pteranodon in Jurassic Park 3.
Okay, I'm just assuming that was the big giant dinosaur.
He was the flying bird, okay? The flying dinosaur bird.
Okay.
The Pteranodon. You don't know the Pteranodon?
You know, we're in the blockbuster age now, gentlemen. So, I mean, I agree with you. In a perfect world, I think Ex Machina should be, like, you know, grossing trillions of dollars. But it's not. People don't want to see that. You know, they want to see people chasing, running from dinosaurs and getting eaten. Dudes and women in superhero costumes.
Fast cars. And crotch shots.
Basically, what you're saying is Americans have the mentality of a third grader.
A little bit older, but
apparently.
That's not new, though, man.
Yeah, it's not. Well, you could probably go back every year and see these blockbusters at the top.
Yeah, yeah.
Transformers, obviously, right?
But that's my point. That's what I said. I think I said on Facebook. You know, it's possible to make a blockbuster that's smart.
Yeah.
Why don't they do that?
Well, yeah, you look at Inception, Dark Knight. Although that does have the crutch of a superhero, comic book superhero in it. But if you do it, but I know you said that America's always been that way. If you adjust it for inflation, the highest grossing film of all time is Gone with the Wind, which says a lot about America.
Actually, it does.
As well. Well, it does. I mean,
You adjust it for inflation, but again, that's not because that's what people are going to see.
Well, I'm just saying more people went to go see that movie more times than any other film.
Yeah, but there wasn't 8,000 movies paying at the multiplex either.
Well, and it wasn't on 5,000 different theaters either.
Right, so it was less choices. We can all agree to that.
Okay.
Yes. More choices today, obviously, right? You can see anything you want. Well, there it is. That's the top 10. Love it or hate it. Money speaks. That's it. All right, let's move on to...
Money talks, bullshit walks.
There you go. You can do that, too. Next up, we got to get into this new movie. Just came out this weekend. Actually, came out Wednesday.
Wednesday, yeah.
Terminator Genesis. This is the fifth movie, I believe, in the Terminator franchise. And once again, Arnold is back as the Terminator.
You got the title wrong. It's actually Terminator Age of Skynet.
Terminator Age of Skynet. All right. I see where you're going with that. So, yeah, here's the new Terminator movie. The brief synopsis. What is this movie about? And I'm reading this. When John Connor, leader of the human resistance against Skynet, sends Kyle Reese back to 1984 to protect his mother, Sarah, from a Terminator assassin, an unexpected turn of events creates an altered timeline. Instead of a scared waitress, Sarah is a skilled fighter and has a Terminator guardian by her side. Faced with unlikely allies and dangerous new enemies, Reese sets out on an unexpected new mission. Reset the future.
Mike, go ahead.
Go ahead, ask yours.
Did you write that?
I wish I did. No, I didn't.
So that means that some Hollywood executive wrote that. Basically, they could have, like I said, they could have just said, the first three Terminator movies, it's that shit. That's all I had to write.
Well, if you had ever seen those movies, I probably wouldn't know what the hell you're talking about.
Yeah, who hasn't seen? Come on. Okay.
Well, there's a lot of kids that haven't seen those movies.
You remember those old K-Tel commercials with, you know, the greatest hits? That's what the movie felt like to me.
Well, let's get into it. I'll start with you, Sean. What did you think of Terminator Genesis?
After a very good start, the first maybe half hour or so, and we were in 84 with the kind of faithful recreation of the first movie. Once the, I call him 84 Terminator, is eliminated, the movie goes downhill from there. It just got bogged in its own mythology, its own plot. I know we talked about it Tuesday. You know, the characters have to stop every, you know, 15, 20 minutes or so to spend 5 minutes to explain the plot to the audience because we don't know what's going on. By the time it gets to the end and Skynet is revealed, spoiler, I had checked out. I was like, this is absolutely ridiculous. They're just making shit up at this point and have no clue where the story is going or where they want it to go. I think Arnold, bless his heart, it's time for him to, you know, time for him to hang up the Terminator glasses. He seemed bored, and he's playing a robot, and he seemed bored. So if he can't bring excitement to this series, then it's probably time to call it a wrap.
All right. Mr. Ampu, I believe you've seen this movie. What did you think about it?
Okay. Before I start, here's some burning questions that I just had to ask that made me say, what the fuck? If John Connor says this is all she knows, so when he sends back Kyle Reese, how come Reese didn't say, oh yeah, by the way, a Terminator grabbed John Connor if he saw that shit? Why do they have a picture of Linda Hamilton as Sarah Connor and then go right to Amelia Clark as Sarah Connor? They really couldn't have just said, hey, Amelia, come here real quick. We're going to take this picture.
There was a picture of Linda Hamilton in the movie?
Yes.
At the very beginning, yeah.
Yeah, that old picture that they've showed in every single movie.
I thought that was the new girl.
No.
Oh, okay. I didn't even pay attention.
That's why I was so confused throughout the whole movie.
Hilarious. And then Linda Hamilton is clearly a blonde with a hair metal band hairdo, and then we be a new Sarah Connor who's a brunette. Like, what the fuck? I understand. I mean, I guess the timeline changed, so I guess it changed the way she looked.
Changed her hair color.
Okay, another. Why is Reese a fucking idiot? I mean, so you try to tell me he's talking to Sarah Connor. She's like, yeah, we killed him. He sees the Terminator. He is like, oh, get down. He's here to kill you. I was like, what the fuck? So he really want us to believe that Kyle Reese believes that a Terminator that was sent to kill Sarah Connor calmly sat in the back of a truck and waited for the proper time to reveal his plan and kill Sarah Connor when he opened up the door. And by the way, why the hell would he do that? The other one, why is Sarah Connor acting like a petulant child talking about when they talk about mating? I don't get that. And then my last one is if Reese...
You're up to five.
No, I didn't say three. I said...
Mike, are you hearing feedback?
I am.
Yeah. And then... Okay, last one. Okay, that's not me.
Not me.
What feedback?
It's like an echo.
Hearing echo.
Somebody say something.
Check.
It's you, Mike.
I hear it.
I heard it. Anyway.
Okay.
So lastly, if Reese and Sarah Connor left in 1984, how was John Connor born? But whatever. Anyway, I listened to what Q Storm and Sean said, and I can't believe despite all of that, and when I watched this last night, I liked the movie. I'm not gonna lie, I liked the movie. I mean, there was a lot of stuff where you just like you just felt like they were doing callbacks to stuff that happened in the different films before it. And there, like I said, there were these, okay, I still don't understand how this timeline got changed. Why is this happening? Why do you always have to change Judgment Day's date? You know, it was 1992, then it was 1997, now it's 2017. But overall, I enjoyed the movie, and I felt the relationship between Pops and new Sarah Connor, I thought they did a really good job of making them care about one another. Although, in the end, and can we give the spoiler away about what happens to Pops?
Sure.
Once again, they killed an Arnold Terminator, and then, true to his word, he comes back as a T-1000 with the whole knife thing, and they're like, yeah, this is my new, this is like their fucking new guard dog or something. And I'm like, are you kidding me? And Sean said, it's clear that they're setting everything up for a sequel. But with that being said, I'm not mad at it. I thought it was a good film. Well, no. Okay, not a good film. It was an enjoyable film. It was an enjoyable film. I like it.
Well, you know, as I said Tuesday, there's not a single set piece in the movie at all that comes close to anything in the first three movies. I mean, the only good one in T3 was the ladder chase. That one was pretty good. But, I mean, there wasn't even that to even say, okay, yeah, this was a cool sequence.
I mean, I don't know if I agree with that. I think the bus on the Golden Gate Bridge was pretty cool.
I don't think it was as good as those three. Well, anything in the second or the first one.
All right. Q-Storm, what'd you think about the movie?
Well, I'm going to probably meander a little bit, but do y'all remember the movie Lady in the Water? It was Shyamalan film. Y'all remember that?
Shyamalan.
I remember. I never seen it.
Well, the thing about that film, when I knew there was that Houston, we had a problem with Shyamalan, was that the problem was that whenever Paul Giamatti, who starred in that film, and I don't remember any particular scene, but whenever he would get into a jam, they would the screenplay would introduce something to get him out of it as the story went. And it made it so that, well, there's no stakes here because they just create something for him to move on to the next scene. To me, that's what this entire movie felt like. From the beginning, when we see, I'm going in thinking, okay, this is, we're going to start off afresh. This is like Terminator 1 never happened. It's like starting from the foundation. But then we see the picture of Linda Hamilton, which I was like, oh, okay. Well, I can't wait for them to explain that so I can get into this. They never explain it, really. Or if they do explain it, it didn't make any sense to me. This film, it's just like that Lady in the Water technique where you can use time travel to suit your needs in the screenplay. And because of that, because there was never really any hardline rules set, I'm going to say maybe at the end of the second act, I was still thinking, this movie hasn't started for me because I still don't know what's going on. for me, the movie, the first, I want to say, 20 minutes, I was kind of into it. I liked the scene with a kid who I think it turned out to be Kyle. He's trapped in the tunnel, and then we see the glowing eyes, and then we're led to think there's a Terminator, and then all of a sudden it's a German Shepherd. I thought, oh, that was a good technique. Then we see the Terminator off in the distance, nice use of depth, and he's coming towards the kid. And then all of a sudden, John Connor parachutes in and saves the kid. I liked all that stuff. And then I liked when they
except it retcon how they met from the last film.
See, I don't remember. Salvation, you're talking about?
Yes.
Much as I like that film, I don't remember it too well. So that may be. But then when we get the movie goes off the rails for me when, as far as I know, the dialogue said that they missed Skynet sending the Terminator back for the first time. That was the first time they sent the Terminator back. So then they send Kyle back, and right as he's going back, John is attacked by a Terminator, and that creates an alternate timeline. How does that? I don't know why that created an alternate timeline. So I'm already like questioning your premise right there. It was just stuff piled on top of stuff. Oh, they sent me back in 2014. Oh, they sent me back in 2017. Well, how did Pops get back there? I know there was a dream. There was a flashback where the
original. They never explained who sent them either.
Yeah, but there was a flashback where the girl's house got blown up or something, and the old Terminator finds her, and he becomes. Who sent him back? And why did they send him back? So none of that was explained. And what they did to John Connor, I liked that concept of how the Terminators have upgraded their technology, how they create new Terminators now. But what they did to John Connor, and I guess we're spoiling this, the trailer spoils this, making him into a Terminator, to me, that defiles...
What?
The character of John Connor.
God.
And to me, that's a huge problem for me, because you have Terminator 1, Skynet sends a Terminator, the Resistance sends a Protector. Then Terminator 2, okay, the first Terminator fell, so Skynet sent another Terminator, the Resistance sends the Terminator wrong. Then Terminator 3, Terminator 2 failed, so Skynet sends a Terminator again, the Resistance sends a Terminator.
So my
question is like, wait a minute. If apparently when Skynet sent the first Terminator, they had this technology to turn humans into Terminator, why the fuck did they send two other Terminators down the timeline? like, come on.
Q-Storm, so you didn't like the movie?
I couldn't, I'll put it this way, I couldn't like the movie because I couldn't understand the fucking thing.
Okay.
And I was going to say, I think the only other time that I can think of off the top of my head that I felt more violated about characters that I had invested in was Alien 3, when they killed off, coincidentally, Michael Biehn, who played Hicks, who also played Kyle Reese in the first film, and they killed off Newt. I just think you defiled these characters that we invested in. You didn't have to do that to John Connor. It smelled to me of how do we make this shocking this time around.
Right.
I mean, the concept of introducing nanobites into humans to make them Terminators, I thought that was a nice, fresh take. But you had to do it to John Connor. One last question. Sarah Connor, apparently, we don't know how, but she is familiar with time travel because she has Pops. And so she knows about time travel, and Kyle Reese comes to try to protect her. So when she sees John Connor in 2017, why does she say, "How are you here?" Does she say that? She knows about time travel.
Alrighty. Big, Sexy, and Sack. Oh. Check. Guess it'll figure itself out. Big, Sexy, and Sack. Did you see this movie?
No, I've not seen it, but I've heard you guys speak about it. I spoke to someone at the comic shop yesterday who was, in fact, wrong. He said he liked it, but I'm hearing all these things, and damn.
All right.
I may just have to see this one by alternate means, so we'll leave it at that.
There you go. All right, well, I've seen this movie. Hold on. I have seen this movie. Here's my take on it. I knew what the movie was about based off the trailers, so I understood that John Connor was a Terminator. Get it, whatever, I remember we talked about this movie a year ago or more or something when we first sort of heard. I think it was a cover story of Entertainment Weekly a year ago or so, and that's kind of when the first thing was revealed that they're going to really go sideways with the storyline. So I knew all that going in. But I remember seeing James Cameron, creator of Terminator.
Oh, that sellout motherfucker.
He's got a whole commercial thing where he's cupcaking and he's co-signing the movie. He said, "Hey, this is the one. I didn't direct it, but yeah, I saw the movie, and yeah, this is it. If you are a fan of my work and what I did with Terminator, y'all need to go see this." So when I saw that, I was like, "Okay,
yeah, shit. He came out on this one,
showing his ass." Okay, great. Now here's the crazy thing: as I'm looking this up as we're talking, the story that came out says James Cameron wasn't paid a cent to endorse Terminator Genesis.
Bullshit.
So here's my problem. The movie itself, I'm going to give it to you from a guy who's seen the other movies and is a fan of the franchise. It was a mess. It was everything that I hated about Star Trek Into Darkness. It's that sort of revisionist retconning. Doesn't earn the moments that it has, and it glosses over and changes things and disrespects, in my opinion, what a fan of the franchise would appreciate. So I don't like that type of stuff. Like, it's lazy storytelling. It doesn't earn anything. It's kind of what Marvel does with its comics, right? Like Marvel Civil War spinoff book of in the battle world, the Secret Wars and all that kind of shit. Like, it's bullshit. I don't want to read that. So this movie kind of fits in that same kind of frame to me. This is a well-done movie in terms of the special effects. I give it props. Arnold Schwarzenegger to me was good in this movie. He doesn't have to do much to play this character, but I had no problem with him being the Terminator, and, you know, he's older. Fine. He played it just as he normally would. He's good. No problem. The CGI Arnold, excuse me, from the first movie they show in there, I was like, okay, I know that's not really him, but there he is. That's cool. And I was into the movie at the beginning. I think people have said I was sort of into it at the beginning. But once it starts to go doing the crazy leaps and stuff, you know, as others have asked, you have to ask a question. I'm kind of like saying, why would you do this then? Why? And I know that they're not going to explain it. And it can get so confusing that I just said, you know what? Fuck it. I don't even care, man. So like, whatever. Just show another action thing. Show them shooting, whatever. They ain't going to die. So it doesn't even matter to me. I started to fall asleep toward the end because it was just kind of, it felt like the Terminator movie to me. It just like kept doing action sequences that I didn't care about. And it's like, whatever. And, oh, now he's this. And again, as others have asked, I start asking questions. Well, why wouldn't you just do this then? I was like, that's bullshit. So the movie wasn't that good to me. I also didn't like the corniness of the Arnold Terminator sort of jokingly sort of battling with Kyle Reese for the attention or the affection of the girl or whatever. What robot is doing that? Why is he looking at his dick and then making a joke? Like, what programming? Yeah. What part of the programming was that? It was never displayed in the other movie. I was just like, they got that agenda funny stuff in here. Come on, man. So I didn't like that kind of stuff. Hold on, almost finished. So I didn't like that kind of stuff. It was weird to me. I didn't like the guy playing Kyle Reese. Is that the same guy that was in that Die Hard movie?
Yes.
Like, first of all, I don't know where he comes from. Why is he in movies? Why is he in these franchises that are big franchises? How does he get a shot? I don't know what he's famous for. Someone can maybe tell me. But I don't know how. Why is this dude? He's not the dude. Hollywood, he's not the guy. He's boring. He doesn't have no charisma, no screen presence. He ain't. I don't get it. He's like a poor man's Star-Lord
Channing
dude.
Tatum.
Or Channing Tatum. You know, yeah, one, I mean, it's like, who is this guy, man? So I didn't understand that.
Sam Worthington.
My man who played John Connor. And I've seen him before, but to me, I've seen him miscast or something. I was like,
I hate that guy. God,
what is he doing? I didn't get it. So, and even the girl playing Sarah Connor, and I know she's from, what's the show called? Game of Thrones. But again, for me, she's miscast as that. She looks too young. She just doesn't. She's playing the Sarah Connor from T2, which was a badass. Ripped. Right? That was such a shocking thing to see her from how she was in the first movie to how she looked here. That was like, whoa. She the wrong one. This was just, she was just a little girl here. She was like Padme to me or something. Like, I don't understand why they keep casting these sort of small, young, I hate to go there, you know, little white girls. She's not putting in, I don't believe her putting in no work. She doesn't inspire anything. So I just like, this is bullshit. Now, from the aspect of a person, I'm going to wrap it up, aspect of a person who, a kid maybe who's seeing these movies, I could say, you know what, you might enjoy this. If you're not really that versed in the Terminator franchise, and you just look at this as, this is, you know, Terminator 2 or 3. I may have seen 2 on Netflix, or, you know, they're on cable a lot. May have kind of watched a little bit, and I know who Arnold Schwarzenegger is. You could probably watch this movie, and you might, it's kind of enjoyable. It's a cool little action movie, and not really get what they're doing to the franchise. The same way I know a lot of people, Netflix, like on Netflix, Star Trek Into Darkness is in the category of critically acclaimed. Now, I imagine those are a lot of people, younger people, who have never seen Wrath of Khan and don't have the, you know, history of it and understand what it is. So when they see this shit in this movie, they don't understand. Like, that's just a ripoff, man. It's bullshit. So for some people, I could see how they could enjoy this movie here. I didn't, but that's my take. Q, you had a question.
No, I was going to say, that line about him saying something that about Kyle and his man parts or something.
Ew.
I took it as just like, I don't disagree with anything you said. Please don't take me wrong. But, you know, in Terminator 2, Arnold said, the Terminator says, I need a vacation. You know, it was just something to make you giggle, I guess. I don't know.
That was Arnold. That wasn't the character.
Well, I'm saying the same thing here.
Yeah, that's what I mean. It was something for a star to be a star, not to be a character.
I will say this. I just think Jason Clark, who everyone seemed to like in Dawn of the Planet of the Apes,
nope.
I just think he looks weird. That's the thing. And he has a weird sounding voice. Jay Courtney, I don't know. I don't see the hate for him, honestly. I don't
see the love.
Huh?
I don't see the love for him either. Like
No. I mean, I don't understand.
Have you seen A Good Day to Die Hard?
I think no one could have done good in that film. Bruce Willis did look good in that film. So,
all right.
And Amelia Clark, yeah, I would say she looks too young. I think she did an admirable. She made an admirable attempt, but yeah, I think ultimately she looks like a little girl. I mean, why not get Katie Sackhoff or someone who also has some geek cred who looks like they could kick ass, you know.
I got two questions. Was Bill Paxton too busy to do his cameo? And Joe Morton, is he too busy? He was hanging out with Olivia, yeah, I guess.
They're old though. They look. I mean,
I will throw this in. J.K. Simmons. Yes, sir. I like him though.
He was good.
Yeah, he was good.
Yeah. I'm like, why couldn't they get Joe? You know, I mean, I love Courtney B. Vance. There's no hate there, but you know, I would have liked to have seen, you know, at least somebody. You know, I was saying the role of John Connor must be the most difficult role in Hollywood since it's been played now by how many actors? 3, 4 now. Edward Furlong, Nick Stahl,
Christian Bale,
and now Jason Clark. Is the role that complicated?
Are you saying they should bring these people back? Is that what you're suggesting?
Well, I said on Tuesday, you know, what if Luke Skywalker was played by a different actor in every movie? You know, it's you can't even really connect to the character because it's a different face every time.
Well, I understand. These films don't come out regularly, though. That's the thing. Actors move on to other things.
Well, they wanted Edward Furlong for 3. He was just tied up with the dope man at that point in his life, and I don't think he's recovered since. So, I mean, you know.
Well, there you go. That answers your question. What is?
Oh, we got a breaking. Also, oh shit! Conspiracy Brother has something to say. Listen, why they gotta have? They still got the black man being in charge of the downfall of the civilization. That's all I'm saying.
And you got what said? They got the black man's in charge of the downfall.
I have to tell this. When I saw T2 way back then, whenever it came out in theaters, opening night, when it was revealed that Dyson was, you know, the architect of the end of the world, some brother yell out, "Oh, so we cause the end of the world now?"
That's right.
Well, look at it this way. The spin is, you have to have a lot of power to cause so much destruction. So,
like Obama.
Ooh.
There you go.
But, so it's – I didn't like the whole app thing. I thought it was so corny.
Yeah.
You know, Genesis comes out. The countdown.
That was a missed opportunity where they could have really gotten into, you know, how everyone's always connected and whatnot. There's that one brief scene where we're in the hospital and, you know, they're painting by and, you know, you see everybody on their phone, tablets, and whatnot. That could have been something they could have explored a little bit more and it just seemed like, oh, well, we'll just do this and then let's move on. Let's go back to our convoluted story that no one cares about.
I'm sorry, Mike,
what did you think of the tag?
Oh,
the post credit.
Yeah. At first, it's a little confusing at first, and I'm like, okay, so there's another time machine, and there's the little boy representation of Genesis. It was corny to me.
Yeah,
very corny.
You're talking about the post credit scene, right?
Yeah.
I thought that was just. Well, I don't want to ruin that for Big Sexy. I won't say anything.
Go ahead. I ain't paying for shit, so go ahead.
I thought it was just you see John Connor's body in the time machine and Skynet reactivates, which I'm like, come on. They just showed us them blowing up the whole damn thing for 15 minutes, not so he just appears again? What's the point?
Well, it was almost, you know, we've seen these movies, but it was kind of like transcendence.
Yeah.
A little bit where it's like, well, once he's basically on the net or something, I don't see how they could ever destroy him at this point. I mean, he's out there in cyberspace. He can just forever live on. This is what I would rather them have done. They should have just made this movie and had it tied into The Matrix. And it would have been fine. I'd be like, okay, fuck it. At least one of these guys is going to be Neo. And then the movie's going to go to some boy. You know, now the conspiracy theorist brother would say, well, Mike, actually, that's where they stole it from. It was the Terminator and The Matrix wasn't the same story. That black woman wrote it, and that's why they stole it and did it now. But anyway.
Okay.
Well, maybe this movie would be like Flash Gordon, you know, the tag at the end of that one. We never got a sequel. Maybe this would be the same thing. The movie would be, because it's the critics are not being very kind at this one. So I don't know what it's doing money wise. I suspect another movie that opened on Wednesday is probably doing a little bit better. But I mean, I just can't see a word of mouth. Getting people to go back in for, you know, telling their friends to go or repeated business. I just don't see that.
Well, they've already greenlit two sequels, and Arnold's going to be in the second one.
Well, they can greenlight it, but once those numbers start coming in and the reviews, they may take a second look at it.
Remember, they had, five Spider-Man movies that are supposed to come out after Amazing Spider-Man 2. See how that went.
Because
they had Terminator Salvation and they have this one, so if they kept making them after that movie,
Salvation gets so much hate.
Well, it's
not a good movie.
I actually like this better. I like this movie better than Salvation.
I think it's the third best.
I think I like this better than Salvation.
Wow,
it's better than Salvation and Terminator 3.
Yeah,
in my opinion.
Yeah.
This movie's better than Salvation.
No, it's not. It's not better than Terminator 3.
Oh yes, it is. Yeah. That was Arnold.
Damn it.
That was Arnold being bored and going through the motions in that one. I'm sorry.
Because I think I read James Cameron. Arnold didn't want to do 3, and then James Cameron said, "Hey, look, Terminator, as much your franchise as it is mine, do it and ask for a shitload of money." And that's exactly what he did.
Hilarious.
I also want to say I think it's really reprehensible that, I mean, Skynet has always been Skynet. So the fact that they wanted to tie this into the title, making it seem like a double entendre that this is the genesis of a new trilogy. So let's change everything once again and make Skynet Genesis. And that the whole concept of everything going through the iPads, and that is so fucking corny. It just reminds me of, I mean, this was a good movie, but it just takes me back to like movies like War Games, or it just dates it. You know, War Games, that movie was about, you know, this is when video games were first becoming nascent and giving birth to the whole thing of video games. So let's make a movie that speaks about video games. So, but it dates it. So doing that whole thing with iPads and iPhones and this and that, and calling it Genesis when it's in fact Skynet, it just smacks of let's just tie it in to the title.
So say it in Genesis. 30 years, people won't know what an iPad and an iPhone is.
Well, yeah, I agree with you. To me, the Terminator, the thought of the whole Terminator thing is dated to me though. And I mean, you know, the nuclear war aspect. No one's feared of that anymore. Like
that's
that,
a good point.
You
that's
know what I mean? So I think the whole way that it's set up is based off a very dated sort of a premise, which doesn't necessarily work to me. It doesn't really speak to anybody anymore. Because why would they even have machines? Like, why? You know, I started asking stupid questions. Why has he got teeth? Like, why make them into men? It makes no sense. If you are,
well,
in fact,
if
you're
making,
if you're going to destroy humanity, there's no need to fool them into looking like humans. You just fucking treat them as slaves or wipe them out. You don't need to appeal to the human psyche at all. They have no purpose. That's why there was a one part of, they rounded us all up for execution camps. But why? Why wouldn't they just slaughter you? Like, you know what I mean, they're machines. You serve no purpose to them. Why not? Why not just?
And again, that's why salvation is horrible, because
right.
It made no sense that they were capturing humans. Capturing humans for what?
So anyway, let's get off.
Scotland had already won, right? I mean, that was the whole whole thing.
Wait, one last point. Regarding the whole, why are they trying to find a reason to update Skynet's origin? I think, first of all, we are living in an age where they are trying to make AI, somewhat sentient AI. So the fact that AI became self-aware and decided self-preservation is to destroy humans, just stick with that. Why are you trying to come up with all this new finagle? It's 2K15, so we need to make it more relevant how science, how Skynet is created and why he becomes sentient and whatnot.
I agree.
Make AI looks at the world and is like, fuck, these guys are gonna fuck shit up. They ain't gonna fuck me up.
Yeah, why couldn't Skynet still be called Skynet? Why did they have to convolute it by calling it Genesis and basically rewriting the last three films? Well, I'm gonna say last three because.
All right.
Can I just say the last word on that?
That was it. That was it. Let's move on.
Damn.
Sorry, we're gonna keep moving. Sorry. All right. So next up, let's get into Black Panther. Ava, how do you say your last name?
DuVernay.
DuVernay has announced herself. I think Marvel let her do that. Like, you can go ahead and put that out there. But she went ahead and announced that she is not going to be directing Marvel's Black Panther. She did say that she met with them and met with Chad. Chad, the actor, plays
Chad the actor.
God damn it.
Hey, wait, hold it. I was listening to y'all on one show. It was like y'all was calling my man Bosich or something.
Bosich, Chad Bozeman. But anyway, she met with Chad. She met with the writers, right? And I think she said basically like Marvel has a certain way of making their movies
successfully.
What doesn't, you know, it's a difference in the way that she wants to do it. And I think she said it'd be better for me to bow out now as opposed to saying later that it was over some creative differences. So I can respect that, right? But anyway, what do you guys, I know we did a whole show about the thought of her being the director. Now she's, in fact, not going to be the director. Start with Ampu. What do you think?
Oh, man, you can't, I wasn't even prepared.
Oh, my bad. Let's go somebody else.
No, I'll go.
Black man not prepared.
See, this is crabs in a barrel. Anyway, so yeah, I actually did have a conversation with Jamie Broadnox, the Black Girl Nerd herself. That episode is coming. It's coming, sir. Pause. Anyway, my question is, and I've been going back and forth with it with some people over this, is that maybe her heart wasn't even into this movie before, and you've seen a lot of Black nerds going off saying, oh, this is Marvel once again. You're seeing the geek culture and fanboy saying, see, it's just like, look what they did to John Favreau. Look what they did to Edgar Wright. Look what they did to Ed Norton. This proves that Marvel doesn't care about any creative directors. It's all about what they do and all the other stuff. And I'm like, can you pull back and just, you know, wait for more information to come out? Maybe, just maybe, her heart wasn't into this movie. Maybe she doesn't care about doing a comic book superhero movie. Maybe she doesn't have a reverence for Black Panther. Maybe she's not a geek and finds any of this stuff interesting. Maybe they didn't write her a big enough check. So before you get to saying that they just wanted her to be a cog in the wheel, and that they just, and some people were saying that they were going to whitewash Wakanda, which I'm like, that makes no fucking sense. This isn't DC. This isn't Fox. This isn't Sony. This is Marvel Studios. Marvel Studios created by a comic book company, Marvel. Why would they say, you know what? Wakanda has been this advanced technology, technological country in Africa for 40 years, but that's not going to work in a film. We're not going to do that. We need it to be a desolate third world country. I just do not see Marvel doing that. And the other thing is that I looked at her filmography. She's done two full-length feature films, two, and an episode of Scandal. Most of her work has been documentary. Props to the sister. You go ahead and ride that wave of being the it girl in Hollywood as long as possible. But this chick is overhyped. I'm sorry. She is overhyped. Just like the Wachowskis, just like Sofia Coppola. So I'm sorry that they're not doing it, but hopefully they'll get a good, competent black director. I'm looking at you, Ernest Dickerson, and I'm looking at you, Antoine Fuqua.
All right. Let me just throw in her quote. Might answer some of the questions you said. She says, "I love the character of Black Panther, the nation of Wakanda, and all that they could be visually. I wish them well, and will be the first in line to see it." Big Sexy and Sack.
She lying.
You know, we talked about this last week, you know, as you mentioned, and I'm going to be a bit catty here. You know, I'm looking at the comicbookmovie.com article that, you know, broke this story, and I'm not trying to channel Tommy Sotomayor by any stretch.
Uh-oh.
But the picture they used for her on that, she's got the little smirky gas face. Uh-oh. You know, and now it's like, in her quote, she's always creative differences. I don't, you know, they want to do it one way, I want to do it the other way. So in other words, you couldn't do it your way, so you're going to pass. Now, to piggyback on what Ant said, maybe she doesn't have a reverence for the character. Maybe she doesn't know the character. Maybe she's not into this. Maybe she doesn't want the heightened scrutiny that is going to come with doing a comic book-based movie, which is fine. And then maybe it's also that, you know, she had some ideas that or along the lines of something like Josh Trankin doesn't want to read the source material. I don't know. But I'm glad she realizes that it's not a good fit for her and sends it packing. I'm not ripping her skills as a director at all. Her body of work isn't that large to really get a good read. But it does show a certain level of restraint and not, you know, to steal from Michael Dean, and she's staying in her lane here. You know, she's not going to go out and try to do something else that she's not ready to do or passionate to do, so she chose not to do it. And I can applaud that. But that picture, yeah.
Hilarious. All right, Sean Hill, I know you got to leave soon, but I want to make sure you get a chance to speak.
You know, I think this is a case where, and correct me, guys, if I'm wrong, most Marvel movies are directed by committee. In other words, she probably has to get approval on every shot, every movement of the camera, every line of dialogue, every, you know, position, all that stuff, right? And I think with the type of movies that she's made and the type of artist that she is, I don't think that that's something that she was probably willing to do. I mean, I know I'm putting words in her mouth and I don't really know the situation, but is that a fair statement that these movies are more than likely directed that way? They're you know, put together by committee.
I would think so. I think Josh Whedon spoke about that on the last
video. Okay. So, yeah. So, you know, and especially, you know, if she does documentaries, that to me shows she's hands-on. She's more of a kind of, you know, quote-unquote do-it-yourself director. You know, it's you know, her thoughts, her ideas, her piecing together what's what. And to have that many, to potentially have that many hands in the cookie jar, you know, again, having to get approval, you know, for every single thing that she does, again, probably it just probably wouldn't work for her at all.
All right.
So just real quick, am I glad that she's not doing it? I mean, I never had a pony in the race. I didn't see why Everyone was against her even having the shot to do it. As I think we talked about a little bit Tuesday also. And I'm going to say, how does she get the chance to show what she's got if she's never given the chance to show what she's got? And then maybe at the end of the year, we won't have another, you know, Oscar so white campaign again. Give the sister a chance to show her stuff. So,
all right.
Houston. And with that, I do have to go.
Oh, yes, okay. Sir. Well, man, thank you for coming through.
All right,
have
sure.
a good 4th of July, sir.
Everyone wow. have a safe and happy and productive 4th of July. Don't eat too much and don't drink too much.
All right. Peace, sir.
What I was going to say was, Sean, you really think she was going to get an Oscar nom for Black Panther?
No, but I'm just saying at least it's a highly visible directorial chance that, you know, a lot of black directors aren't given. And so that's just what I'm for that.
All right. All right. Big, excuse me, Q-Storm, we need to hear from you, sir. Yeah, let's go.
I'm getting my praise. I just caught the spirit, y'all.
Ain't no more.
That's how I feel.
Wow, you're wrong for that. My thing is if I go the Tommy Sotomayor route, I'm like, this is... Nah. Okay, fuck it, I'm going to go there. It's just like a sister. You get an opportunity to put yourself within the huge inner circles of Hollywood by directing a huge blockbuster film that's probably guaranteed to do 500 to 700 million worldwide, if not a billion, with the Marvel Disney marketing machine behind it. And you decide you got to do it your way. It's your highway. Fuck out of here. But nah, but my thing is I think it's, if she did pass on this, I think that's a huge mistake, because how many directors get the opportunity to say they directed a blockbuster film? And then on top of that, a blockbuster film based on a black character.
Maybe she understands that it's over her head. It's out of her league.
No, here's an old adage that's used in the music business. Fake it till you make it.
You're not going to fake $170 million film.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, everybody says she's very competent. I mean, come on. Are you trying to tell me that she's not as competent as James Gunn, who people still shit on for some of the things that he's done? What was it? You, Me, and Dupree?
I'm saying that her resume does not tell me that she's the one to direct Black Panther.
All I'm saying is there's no way, as a director with two feature films under my belt, as hot as I supposedly am because of directing Selma, Martin Luther King, and the snubbing of an Oscar, would I turn down directing Marvel's first black superhero film? That's probably No, I ain't gonna say probably. That is guaranteed to do half a billion worldwide.
Well, first
off, I am going to get a full round of press material to go out there and get my story out there with Marvel Disney marketing machine.
Well, first
somebody
of all,
want this? Who wants this?
I mean,
I said something wrong.
I said $170 million. Do you all really think she's gonna that anyone the director who does this is gonna get the same budget that
no.
Captain America gets, or Spider-Man, or Spider-Man? He's not in Marvel, but you think they would get the same budget as these people? And you think this movie is going to gross the same amount as any of the other Iron Man or
Captain America? It's possible. It's possible. Wait a minute.
Guardians of the Galaxy had a $195 million budget. So,
right. And? What's your point?
My point being is that's not Captain America or Iron Man or the Avengers. And I got a $195 million budget.
But they see that as Star Wars, though. And they see that as a launching point for this. As an Infinity Gauntlet film is going to come out.
Infinity War.
Yes.
That's a good point, but it's still a bunch of unproven characters, and they gave it a $195 million budget. And you really try to tell me that they wouldn't have given Black Panther at least $150 million?
They're going to budget this movie, probably. It's Marvel. They're not going to put no bullshit on the screen.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're fighting over numbers. You know they're not coming whack. Let's be clear.
I would guess around 80 million.
No.
No, I don't think so.
No.
No. And because you gotta account for the fact that they, I think Marvel really will believe that they need a Tony Stark or Captain America in this film. I just really feel that that's what they're really gonna think. So that alone right there is gonna be what, $15 to $20 million, and more than likely, which part?
Why do you think they feel they need to have Captain America or anyone else in this film?
Because they feel that they need something additional to that. If you look at Winter Soldier, they brought in Sam Jackson and Scarlett Johansson. They didn't give Chris Evans a film to himself, and he's fucking Captain America. They feel like Black Panther is unknown to the mass audience, so they need an additional selling point.
Well, actually, he's going to be in the Captain America movie, so he will be known to the people, right? He's going to be in their big movie next year.
I don't think they would get the same money they gave to Guardians. They'll give the same money that they gave to Guardians for Black Panther, because people, no one knew who the Guardians were when that movie came out.
Now, to be fair, since it was a space-themed movie, there was probably a lot of that was probably CGI.
That's fine.
And effects, but I'm still, it's like $195 million. Come on. Who would have thought they would have budgeted that amount for a Guardians of the Galaxy movie?
And they should give the same to Black Panther, because a lot of that CGI is going to be needed to create a lot of the tech that's going to be in Wakanda.
I think, I don't know where you're getting all that from. You really think they're going to get, I don't care how unknown Guardians of the Galaxy was. You had I hate to go in like this, but you had an all-white cast, and you had a space opera. You think because of that, they're going to give, and you think that's the same, merits the same budget as Black Panther?
And again, Q, I will concede, what probably ballooned it the most, so $195 million, was probably the effects, because it was taking place in space. However, I'm sure they started at $120 million.
Rocket and Groot. Those guys don't exist.
Yeah, that's true. But I'm sure they started at $120 million.
That proves my point. They're not going to need to do as much CGI in Black Panther as it did for Guardians. So it would not be that high, the budget.
All right, there you go. Now, move on to the next one.
Yeah, Mike ain't playing today. What's up, man?
We gotta get stuff popping, man. All right, next up, let's get into some comic book stuff before we wrap this thing up here. The Invincible book. Image released a press release. Had a lot of different announcements, but the one that caught my eye was apparently they're going to do some sort of, it's called Invincible Reboot. Read the description here. It says, in this new direction for Invincible, Mark suddenly finds himself without powers, back home, but aware of everything he's lived through. What does he change? Who can he save? And how will he deal with his father now that he knows what's coming? The Invincible reboot will begin with issue 124 and is set to launch October 21st and will retain the same creative team, of course, of Robert Kirkman and art by Ryan Ottoli. What do you guys think of? I know, and Pooh, I know you're reading Invincible now. What do you think of this reboot situation?
I think it seems a little desperate. I mean, I guess I have to wait and see where they go with all that. But for me, the last three or four issues of Invincible has been kind of somewhat a letdown ever since Robot took over the world. I don't know if you can go back in time with some of this stuff. That's the issue that I have. It's like, I don't want to see the same thing, except now we're going to have a different. This is like Terminator, although it was somewhat enjoyable. But I just don't see Robert Kirkman. Why are you doing this to your book? Move forward. Don't go in the back. Don't go backwards and then tell us, well, let's see how he'll handle it this time. I don't know about that.
Big Sexy, you actually interviewed Mr. Kirkman. It's actually still one of our big. Still gets a lot of hits on the site, actually. What do you think about this?
You know, I think having Mark go back in time with full knowledge of things that are coming will definitely force him to change things and treat things differently, because I don't believe, and I keep reading the press release from Image Expo about it, I don't believe this is a reboot in the general sense. I think somehow Mark is going back without powers and having to, or is going to have to relive or re-experience or something, but he's got full knowledge. That means he knows his dad is no good at the, in the beginning. That means he knows all these things are going to happen. That means without powers, he's got to deal with them a different way because he knows how this story is going to end. So I'm curious. You know, with Kirkman, I got to at least take a wait-and-see look. I do, because he hasn't let me down yet.
Yeah, I'm hoping he's sort of like poking fun at Marvel or something by this, because it just seems so against everything that he seems to be about. But I guess we'll see. I'm really liking Invincible right now, so I'm kind of curious, like, why you got to fuck it up?
I like Invincible better than I like Walking Dead, actually.
Yeah. Speaking of other books.
Hey, wait, hold. Can
go ahead. I'm sorry. Yeah, go ahead.
I'll be honest with you. I've heard so many good things about Invincible. Maybe 2-3 years ago, I bought the first trade. And I think I got to the point where...
tread lightly, Q. Tread lightly.
Why? What do you mean? No, you mean in terms of spoilers?
No, in terms of don't say anything blasphemous.
Oh. Well, I'm going to say what I'm going to say. I mean, y'all got to deal with it. But... his father turns out to be, I guess he's an evil guy because he kills the whole legion of heroes or whatever. You all know what I'm talking about.
Okay. Yeah.
So that's as far as I got. And I just really didn't get into it. But let me ask you this. Is it going to pick up? That's where I left off. And I think I finished that. I read it again to see if I, because I wanted to go back since I'd forgotten so much about it. And I still felt blah about it. So is it going to...
If you're just at that point where his dad kills all the heroes, you are way behind the curve here, man. There's so many things coming up that are going to be a lot better than this. Trust me.
So you're saying I should keep going?
Yes!
Okay.
All right. Yeah, that's a good book. All right. Let's go over to Marvel. Big Sexy, I know you wanted to talk about this. So what's going on with Marvel?
Okay. At this week at the comic shop, you know, in Marvel's shipment, they included something called an all-new, all-different free previews of the Marvel books that are coming up. Now, I took opportunity to grab one of these because they were free, and I brought it on back to the Batcave and looked at what's coming up, and a lot of it is some bullshit. A lot of it can be, I mean, some of it can be pretty interesting. Like, for instance, they're starting Invincible Iron Man with yet another number one, but it's going to have Bendis writing it, and I don't believe Bendis has ever written Iron Man as a solo, so that can be something interesting. But at the same time, they're doing A-Force number one, and it says, "A force to be reckoned with. Oh, God, I can't take it." And I am not a sexist by any stretch of the imagination, but this is the central premise here is all female Avengers. Don't know why. Who knows? Mark Waid is doing all new, all different Avengers number one. And that apparently has got all the second tier heroes. I see Ms. Marvel. I see female Thor. I see Falcon America. I see Miles Morales Spider-Man. Yeah. And yet there is another Avengers title. And this is Uncanny Avengers with Old Man Steve Rogers, Deadpool, Rogue, the Human Torch, Peter Parker, Spider-Man, Quicksilver wearing a new uniform that's got like a fast-forward button on the chest, and of course, Brother Voodoo.
Where are you seeing this? Where can I...
This is in the Marvel free previews, all new, all different previews. And it's magazine size, so you can take a look at it. I mean, you can get any comic shop, I'm guessing. All new, all Avengers, no one cares. And now there's Ultimates. But see, that's not the one... See, I'm not going to go through the whole list, but there's one thing that stands out in my mind, or a couple that really stand out in my mind. The first is Daredevil. They are renumbering Daredevil yet again, but this time they've given Daredevil a sidekick. Now, let's see if we can guess who the sidekick's going to be.
Oh, we talked about this. I can't remember who it was.
Was not here.
Oh, was it Black Cat?
Not even close, brother. Not even close.
I have no idea.
His sidekick, and I don't know why, is Gambit from the X-Men.
Gambit, that's right.
Why?
Exactly. Don't know. And to address the Miles Morales issue, yes, Miles Morales is Spider-Man. However, and he gets his own book, you know, called Spider-Man Number One. However, Peter Parker is also the Amazing Spider-Man, and he gets his own book, starting with Number One. I don't know how they're going to do this. And I'm looking at the Illuminati now, and it looks like the Illuminati gets their own book.
I saw that. Oh, I wanted to ask you, maybe you'll get to this Supreme Power or Squadron yes. Supreme.
Yes.
Do you see that they have Nighthawk in that?
Yes, I do.
That is
yes,
crazy. I thought he got killed with everybody.
Well, again, this is he got killed in this whole battle world thing, which we yeah. And Doctor Strange got killed. Spoiler alert. Doctor Strange got killed in Secret Wars number 4, so you know it's not going to stick.
How are they going to have Nighthawk in the Marvel Universe? I can't wait to see that.
All right, who's Nighthawk?
Nighthawk from... there's two, as far as we know, there are two Squadron Supremes. There's one in the normal Marvel Universe, and the Nighthawk is almost like an analog of Batman. But in the Ultimate, in the Max line, Nighthawk is played by a black dude, and he is rich, you know, a la Batman, but he is not the one.
Yeah, he's all about...
he's all about it.
Black people, F white boys.
See, the Nighthawk I know was from the Defenders back in the 70s.
You know what? He's right. That's the third Nighthawk then. Mm. I forgot about that. Forgot about that Kyle Richmond. So there's three Nighthawks running around.
But the Nighthawk you're talking about, I just did a Google search. He looks like, he almost looks like the owl from Watchmen.
Yes.
Yeah, not that one. There's a black guy.
That's him. That's him.
Oh, yeah, I guess a little bit he does. He's black. He's brother. Again, you got to go read Supreme Power, man. I've been pumping that book forever. But that's a cold book, and the way he's written in that book, man, he is no joke, man. He's all about black people. He's a racist bat. He's kind of a racist.
Kind of.
But, you know, it's the Batman you have never seen, and I can't imagine they're going to bring this character into the Marvel Universe. I just can't wait to see that.
But the thing interesting about that, I'm looking at the cover for this, and the name who's writing it just hit me, James Robinson. This guy's good. So that alone warrants picking this book up to see what the hell he's going to do with it.
Let me check it out. But the other stuff you described, kind of a little, I don't know, Marvel, what's going on, man?
Exactly. And, of course, there's a slew of X titles. The time-displaced X-Men get their own book. Uncanny X-Men get their own book. Old Man Logan gets his own book, which means we have an all-new Wolverine, which is the chick Wolverine in the Wolverine outfit, in her own book.
And isn't Old Man in one of these X-Men books, too? Like, he's a part
of the team? Yes, he is. He's part of one of the X-Teams, yep.
This is why I stopped reading comics, y'all.
I can see why, man.
I am totally confused. I don't know who to... it's just ridiculous.
You know, Old Man Logan is an extraordinary X-Men, number one.
Mm.
Oh, God. This is... Marvel's got some splaining to do. Again, I'll pick up a few things because there's a couple of writers, like on Daredevil... Charles Soule, I guess it's pronounced Soule or Soleil, I don't know. He's written a lot of good things for Marvel and DC. And Guardians of the Galaxy is getting yet another reboot with Number One. And it's still going to have Bendis on it, so that'll be worth reading. Plus, they've got Ben Grimm on the team. So we shall see.
On which team?
On Guardians.
Oh, that's right.
Guardians of the Galaxy?
Guardians of the Galaxy.
So is he not in Fantastic Four anymore?
There is no Fantastic Four anymore.
That's right. Yeah, you're right. Wow.
Because Marvel said, fuck that. We ain't getting paid off the movie. We ain't doing no...
What did you think of Secret Wars 4?
You know, I'm enjoying the main book. You know, because I like how Doctor Strange said, look, man, this is how it is. You guys are gone. Doom came in and pretty much handled it. And then Doom shows up and is like, are you talking out of turn here, man? No. I think you are. Sizzle! You know,
Dr. Doom kills Dr. Strange?
Oh, yes.
Okay, I'm going to stop asking questions. It's obvious I'm not reading these books.
Oh, yes. But see, a lot of the books that, you know, are featured alongside of it, you know, have recaptured or tried to reimagine or revisited classic Marvel stories, and they're doing a shit job at it. two that immediately leap to my mind are the E for Extinction X-Men run, which was done by what's that artist's name? It was written by Grant Morrison and I forget the artist's name, but that was a pretty crucial storyline, and the revisiting of it is terrible. They brought back the Korvac saga from a 70s Avengers run, which was a great run then. Now they have just butchered it. And no, if you're gonna read this, stay pretty much to Ultimate End and the main core book of Secret Wars, because everything else around it, yeah, except the Spider-Man book, the Renew Your Vows. That was good. And Thanos, not Thanos Quest, Infinity Gauntlet.
Gauntlet. Yeah, that's right. I love the artwork in that book, man.
Yeah, that's good.
Good stuff. All right, DC Comics, anything going on over there?
Yes.
Batman. I've been reading Batman with the new Batman of James Gordon in the robot suit. Truth. No, it's not called Truth. It's Action Comics, I think, was the
Justice.
Book. Superman, that book. There's the storyline. I think Ampu was talking about that online. Some people are thinking that's sort of alluding to Ferguson type of situation.
You know, yeah. I think that's a bit much. What do you think, man? I think that's a bit much, a bit of a stretch.
It wasn't it at all. You're talking about police brutality. However, it's pretty much white on white crime. So I'm like, It doesn't resonate as much to a black person reading it as it should, in my opinion. But it definitely was a good story. I'm just kind of tripped out seeing Superman being a little punk, so to speak, unable to do all of his powers, and all he has is super strength, and actually getting punked out by a policeman. I'm like, what the hell?
No, see, this makes sense, because we talked about this a while ago, about Superman without powers being a punk, and all the other Justice League people having, if they lose their powers, can still do stuff.
But he's not a punk in this, though. I mean,
I'm not saying...
Yeah, he's standing up for what...
He's standing up, but he's also getting smacked around a little bit, too.
Yeah, he's just not overpowered anymore.
And this story is stolen clearly from Daredevil when he got outed.
And Spider-Man?
When did Spider-Man get outed?
When he revealed himself during Civil War.
He revealed himself.
Yeah, that's true.
He didn't get outed.
That's true.
But you get what I mean far as the repercussions.
Yeah, but it was done first in Daredevil and his whole life changed, and he's still feeling the repercussions from that. With Spider-Man, he cut a deal with Mephisto. Okay, ready, forget. Okay, we all forgot.
Brand new day.
Fuck out of here.
That was horrible.
That was terrible.
Joe Quesada.
All right. Let's see. Anything before we get... Comic-Con is... Ampu, Comic-Con, is it this coming week or the week after?
That's right. Starts Wednesday, preview Wednesday night.
So there's going to be a ton of shit that's going to come out. I'm sure next week we're going to have a buttload of shit to talk about. I see that the Batman versus Superman Trinity of Heroes is on the cover of Entertainment Weekly. So they, put that out there with some pictures, and I see a lot of little news story parts coming out about the movie, and I'm sure they're going to go ham on Hall H with DC movies. Star Wars is going to go ham as well at Comic-Con. We're going to start to see a lot more stuff coming out of that. Anything you guys are looking forward to? Any predictions?
Well, next Saturday, which I'll unfortunately have to miss because I'll be down there putting on my panel, 10:30 a.m., that's when we're going to finally see what DC really has to offer us, not some little bullshit-ass secondhand view of what was done at Comic-Con or some little bullshit-ass trailer. You will bleed. None of that. Hopefully, we're going to see Ben Affleck. We're going to see Henry Cavill. We're going to see Wonder Woman. And we're going to get a nice little feature, a nice little scene as well.
I saw rumors that... I don't know where I saw this at. It's a rumor. This guy was saying maybe they'll show Batman fighting the Joker from Suicide Squad. That would be a head bust if they did that, but I don't see why they would have to. But there's a lot they could do.
I'm saying they're just doing way too much with that. It's like, look, if you're gonna make Suicide Squad, make it Suicide Squad. I don't really care about Batman and Joker.
I do.
And the thing is, you know, I've said this before, with these appearances at San Diego, unless these actors interact with the people, it's just a big whack-off. You know, look at us, we're in Hall H, we're so cool, but we're not taking a picture, so fuck you. No. No.
Indeed.
Yep, we will see. Hopefully we'll see another trailer for Star Wars, or maybe they said they might show some scenes from the movie. Hopefully they make their way online for the people who can't make it.
Yeah, I don't want to see anything more from Star Wars.
I don't, but then the fan in me will just gobble it up. Pause. I would love to see Luke. I mean, obviously they haven't shown any of that yet, but I'll take anything, man. I'm thirsty. I'm extreme thirsty. I'm thirst bucket.
Hey, let me ask you real quick, and you guys were talking about Superman. I'm just going to fully admit I am out of the loop, but are you talking about the new Superman where he's just in jeans and a t-shirt?
Yep.
There was a picture, I don't know where I saw, but he's holding up chains or something?
Yep,
and
that's the issue.
Emancipation.
And who are the people sitting behind him? What?
Just people. Just people who were protesting. He jumped in.
Were they protesting?
Actually, I don't think they're protesting from the, if I remember the issue before, it was a party for Superman. Like,
yeah.
They wanted to say that for some reason he's wanted by the police or something.
Yeah, the this cop has got it in for Superman big time because now that he's out.
Yeah.
Out. Check me out. Superman is out, girl.
Been outed.
Now that he's been publicly outed, you know, a lot of people are like, look, man, a lot of things that you saved us from are happened because they came looking for you. So you've been a danger more than anybody else. And now a lot of people, you know, like this dirty cop is trying to get a little payback on him. And this,
I think that cop is working for somebody, isn't it?
Clearly that cop.
He's talking to somebody like, okay, now do it or something. Like somebody's telling him what to do. But
now, has anyone seen the actual outing of him yet? Or cause I keep,
you know what? It hasn't happened.
It hasn't happened. Okay.
It was, they're telling the story out of sequence. And apparently there was a Free Comic Day issue that showed a future event. But they're going back and showing, and they haven't actually shown why Lois was the one that did it. They haven't shown why she's done that yet, which I don't know why they're doing it like that. It's confusing.
I think she's mad about Wonder Woman.
So how? I'm just curious. How does he get into this new costume? Is this is there a new origin story, or changed his suit, or what?
You should go get
Pull up your chair at the altar of Big Sexy. This is what happened.
Ooh.
A few issues ago, Superman.
That's a little gay. I'm sorry.
he called you gay.
I said it sounded a little gay.
I said pull up a chair at the altar. I didn't say pull up a chair at Mike Johnson, man. Okay? Fruity. Not that there's anything wrong with that.
Of course not. The way we sounded, we reminded about that, didn't we?
What happened a few issues ago, Superman developed a new power called, I'm just going to call it the Super Flare.
Right.
And when he uses it, he loses his powers. So, of course, Superman, being the Rhodes Scholar that he is, kept doing it. And so now his powers are gone, and it takes longer to regenerate. And now he was in the middle of some fight, did the flare, ends up butt-naked in Midwest somewhere. He walks into a little store, has a wad of money in his shoe. He's like, hey, let me buy some clothes. And he sees a Superman shirt and buys it. Which was clearly a nod to the original New 52 Action Comics, where Grant Morrison had him in that outfit for some reason, which
right.
I still hate, but that's what he's wearing now. Because he's depowered, I guess, you know, he's going to walk around and try to be like the common man, which is just nonsense.
Why do I want to read that? What? Oh, gosh. Why do I want to read about Superman being a normal man? I don't.
Well, he's not a normal. Well, I take back. He's not a normal man. He's just
really.
He
still has powers. He just doesn't have the powers he used
super
to.
Power. He can't fly. He's more like the Hulk, if you think about it. He jumps. He can't fly.
And he can get his ass beat.
And he can
after
bleed.
After a amount of time, yeah. I think a lot of people, you know, it was always the complaint that he was just too Superman. Like, he couldn't do anything with him. I think it's a part of their way of saying, well, let's try. What if he didn't have all his powers and he could get hurt? And where does that, and then they out him, which is weird, but I don't know.
So now,
go ahead.
Oh, so now there's no Clark Kent versus Superman. Everyone knows, like Reed
everybody
Richards.
Knows.
Yeah, before. Everybody knows who
everybody
he is.
Knows.
Yeah. And Batman is dead as well.
Damn.
Yeah, it's an interesting
time.
I had to
read that. I had to read the issue before Gordon put on the bat suit.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Woo. Oh, that's right. Yeah, and he looks like a Transformer now, right? Batman.
Yeah. Old fart like robot. Yeah.
All right. So there you go. Comics. Any other things you guys want to get into before we get out of here?
DC lost their damn minds.
I think both.
I just sent you over a link about. I haven't read it yet, but it was interesting. Zack Snyder is now talking about the destruction and the end of Man of Steel. Like, people care at this point.
All right.
Yeah, I did read that. And Zack Snyder essentially said, look, we want people to see, like in Watchmen, we want them to see that there are repercussions and consequences of super people getting into it. So people are going to die and they're going to just know they're going to die.
But still doesn't explain why Superman did all that destruction, but whatever.
No.
All right. Well, there you go, ladies and gentlemen. You've been listening to Geeked Out here on Podcast Juice. And Pooh, where can they find you, sir?
You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Pooh. And next Saturday in San Diego, I will be putting together my labor of love, hashtag We Are All Heroes, at Hall 14A San Diego Comic Con. If you are there, please come join us.
What time should they be there?
Oh, sorry. From 7 to 8. That's right. Saturday, July 11th.
So if someone mentions your name at the door, can you get them in earlier?
I don't think it's going to be that many people. It's not going to be a crowd. I mean, we're not WP, but yes, I will. All right. If you have a badge to get in. So.
There you go. Right. I'm going to check you out. All right, Big Sexy and Sack, where can I find you, sir?
Trial, and more trial, and online, Facebook, Mark Wiggins. Twitter, Big Sexy and Sack.
All right. Q Storm, where can they find you, sir?
Well, I just want to ask Ampu, so does he need a cameraman or not?
All right, where can they find you, sir?
I can't even get a diss or an answer. Is he there?
We lose him?
He's here, but go ahead, man.
It wasn't my call, sir. Sorry, it wasn't my call.
Wow. You can find me at qstorm.com/lightningstrikes, where I just put up a video review of Terminator Genesis, as if you don't know how I feel about it now. You can find me on Twitter, qstorm3476, and you can find me on YouTube, The Real, R-E-E-L, Qstorm.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, follow Podcast Juice at Podcast Juice on Twitter. Also, check us out at the website, podcastjuice.net. You know what we do about this time. Work it like a job. Peace.